As I stand before you in this great hall, of course, a flood of memories come by. I was, as Millie plays a piano, back in the days when we first, following World War II, there were 6 men and 12 women living at 509 Monterey Road. We called it 509. This is a total navigator staff. 6 men. I was one of the men. We lived all together in one bedroom. Mr. Sani was up somewhere in Seattle, some foreign country, and he represented the navigators too. But we were the single men. And there were 12 single young ladies there. They played the piano and very nice. And all of them were very lovely. But one of them particularly is my wife today, Phyllis. And incidentally, she's a hard act to follow. I heard she spoke before most of you on Monday. And she took an egg and broke it over her head and things like that. And, well, taught some object lessons. My son is a ventriloquist. We were in India together as a gospel team on our way home on furlough. This is about July of this year. And he spoke to about 1,200 students. Had a dummy and ventriloquism and singing and guitar, and his twin sister also played the straight lady, and they did tricks back and forth and had a wonderful time presenting the gospel to this school, majority of whom were Buddhist and rather Hindu and Muslim people, some being Christian. So we follow a very wonderful time and a very wonderful heritage. This hall is where Phyllis and I were married, so it also has nice memories. Very, very nice, as we have lived and worked here for many, many times. It's an emotional experience for any old-timer or missionary to come back to Glen Eyrie. And this week, as about 30 missionaries who are on furlough with the navigators have got together, we have indeed had a very wonderful time in memories and looking for the challenge of the future. So I want to give some of the things, some of the highlights, as I view it, of the navigators' work in ministry concerning my own particular involvement in it, and in it probably involved the work of the navigators also. But I first met the navigators, whoops, no, not back far enough, are we? Come down, all right? In 1943, I was a Navy pilot serviceman in Corpus Christi. We were training pilots. We had a Bible class, about 125 servicemen. There were 3 of us that were leading the Bible class. And we invited Dawson Trapman to come down and spend 3 days with the servicemen. I took liberty or leave so I could be with Doss and traveled around in my car, whatever model it was. And we had a great time, and I booked a hotel room and with me as an occupant, so that he could not escape me all 24 hours. I had 3 days of very wonderful fellowship with Dawson Trapman, and my heart went out. I was wide open to the Lord. At the end of the 3 days, he said, Roy, I want to invite you to the navigator staff when the war is over. So I got my invitation, and I accepted to come with the navigators in 1943. As soon as the war was over, I showed up on his doorstep in 509, the place we described, a big mansion of a house, 3 stories, how many square feet, 4,000 or something, divided into sections, and we 6 men on one floor and the women in another section of the house, 22 people together for meals on breakfast and evening, and it was my Bible school, seminary, graduate, postgraduate, and whatever your kind of training in preparation for the mission field. After 2 years serving in the Trotman home, I went down to Dallas to represent the navigators, open up the navigators' work in the state of Texas. I was the only person in Texas identifying himself with this title. I started in Dallas, SMU, North Texas State College. I was an Aggie. We had extension down at Texas A&M. I drove down to Baylor, to Waco, Baylor University, once a week, drove in the car with my Timothy Ross Jennings. We gathered five men together. We met man to man for 1 hour. Then we had the five together. Then we met man to man, that is, I would meet with a man and Ross would meet with a man, with another man for 1 hour, spending all together, 3 hours or so, 2 hours down, 2 hours back, 7 hours, about 7 hours on Sunday. And that was our ministry to Baylor University. From that, I understand, came scores of men, 3 or 4 staff members who reproduction, some upon another, upon another, upon another, who followed in with the work. After I'd been about 1 year in Texas, I got a long-distance telephone call from Mr. Trotman, or Dawson, and he said, Roy, this may surprise you, then again it may not, but, over the telephone, I want you to go to China. I said, hello, operator, poor connection. I'm in Texas. There's a Paris in Texas, but no China in Texas, you know. But he said, yes. Oh, I knew what the project was. Our evangelist David Markin of Youth for Christ, evangelist by the name of Bob Pierce, evangelist by the name of Billy Graham, and another by the name of Tory Johnson, had formed a gospel team. They'd gone to Europe. And from that, David Markin and also Hubert Mitchell had gone on to China. They were in China 6 weeks, and they had something like 30,000 decisions for Christ. People just, multitudes just flocked. The people were so hungry as they gave the gospel. Both, of course, tremendous preachers and tremendous men of God. And Dave Markin came back, and he couldn't sleep at night. He says, all I see at night is marching feet. I wake up and I see forms moving. Sheep without a shepherd. And he went to Dawson in tears and he said, Dawson, send a man to China who will help in the follow-up. And then he said, I will not go back to China unless you send a man. No pressure, of course. And so so Dawson got on the phone and I was not the first. He called somebody else and somebody else. In fact, I learned I was the last along the line, his last resort, the last guy he was going to ask. And in fact, he even told me over the phone, if you don't want to go, we'll just forget about the project. No pressure. And so over the telephone, he said, will you go for this assignment? Of course, I knew basically what the assignment was. Go to China for 1 year and do follow-up. We printed the topical memory system, the memory course in Chinese. We printed Bible studies in Chinese. We got the follow-up material ready, but no man. And so, will you go? Well, I was running the work in Texas. He said, turn it over to your Timothy. I was going to school. Well, that's not important. Check out a school. I was also working for my father, who owned a business in automobiles. Turn that over to someone else. And so over the telephone, I don't know how long we talked, 5 minutes or so, I said, yes, I will go to China. My mother came home, and mother, sit down. I have something to tell you. Typical Southern lady, you know. I am going to China. She jumped straight out of her seat, told my dad, and he said, son, if you want to bury your life over there, go ahead. You know. So with his blessing, I took a slow boat to China, leaving in December, taking 5 weeks, and I went out without a visa. It's a time when the communists had already captured the northern part of China. They were not issuing visas. I got a passport, you can get that, and I tried to get a Chinese visa. No, absolutely not. There's no visas. No Americans are going into China at this stage. But, of course, Doss was sending me to China, or God was sending me to China. So I took the verse, Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham went out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing whether he went. And that was Roy Robertson. I got on the boat. We had no budgets in those days. We didn't know enough to do that. But I knew people praying, and probably people would give. And we had no job assignment. My job assignment from Doss was, you go out, Roy, and do what I taught you. And we had no certain place. Get to Shanghai if you can. If you can't get to Shanghai, go to Hong Kong. If you can't go to Hong Kong, we'll stay in Canton, if you can't get to Shanghai. Can't get to Canton, stay in Hong Kong. But go out and do what you can to help in these vast numbers of people who are being won to Christ, and seek to help them in follow-up. So we went out. I tried to get a visa when our ship stopped in the Philippines, Manila, Chinese consulate. They said no. Our ship came to Hong Kong. We had 12 hours in the port of Hong Kong. I told the captain, reserve my berth. I'm going on the ship up into Shanghai. He knew I was a Navy pilot. He kidded me and, all kinds of remarks about going to China, and you'll never get out if you go in. But I went to the Chinese embassy and said, can I get a visa to China? Oh, of course you can. All you got to have is sign your name and pictures. I was so green I didn't even have passport pictures. So I had a few hours. And I went out on the streets of Hong Kong, these masses of people rushing back and forth. And I went to a camera shop. Can you take my picture? It's possible. It's possible. But 3 days. Another place, 2 days. I stood on the streets of Hong Kong and I said, God, if you want me in China, send somebody to take my picture. And lo and behold, a guy comes up, you know, with one of these old-timey things and thing around his head, and wanted a sidewalk vendor taking pictures of the tourist. Do you want your picture taken? It can be developed in 1 hour. And I said, yes. And I got my picture taken, rushed to the visa, got my visa, rushed into on the ship, and entered Shanghai on Chinese New Year's, January the 31st of 1949. Very, very green, but with the promises of God. Our work was follow-up and reproduction. In fact, the day I arrived, they had finished a big evangelistic crusade in Shanghai. A Chinese evangelist named Andrew Ji had given the gospel and 800 decisions for Christ. So here I was, 27 years old, not a word of Chinese could I speak. Didn't know much outside of Texas and California. And I was supposed, they handed me these 800 decision slips and said, here, you're the follow-up expert. follow up on these 800 people. Well, we did the best we can. So we invited them all to a follow-up class, and I gave the wheel and then the hand and some of the navigator things in the classes, and we divided up into small groups. Of course, I was translated or interpreted by a Chinese co-worker. You know, we had 300 people to attend our follow-up classes. And hey, they said, this works. Thank you. This is the best follow-up we've ever seen. Of course, they hadn't done much before then. And I stayed in China for about 2 years. One side, follow-up on these masses of people coming to Christ. And literally hundreds were coming to Christ in those days. And also reproduction. I went out to China with a prayer. Dawson gave me a verse, Isaiah 43:19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now shall it spring forth, shall ye not know it. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. He went out to find new ways and get new paths and to raise up strong Timothy, strong men of God, that be willing to die for Christ or live under what we knew was going to come up very soon when the government changed and the communists came in. And I asked God for men who would be willing to really become true disciples for Christ. The Lord gave me 7 men during my 2 years in Shanghai. These men who continued on with the Lord. Later, 3 of these 7 found their way out of China into Hong Kong, and I saw them again after I left. One of them became the president of the Gideons, Another became an evangelist. And another one backslid and went to America. But no, not really. He went to America and into business, and God continued to bless his life. So God gave us these men. On the other hand, we were able to get 1,200 people to finish the first section of the Chinese memory program. It's divided into three sets, but the first set of 36 verses had 12 and then 24. The 12 was called the Ling Cheng Chu Jie, or that's the initial test, and we had over 1,200 people to finish the initial test, not just in Shanghai, because they'd graduate and go all over, everybody from Shanghai, the Chinese went all over the country. They scattered into 54 different cities and 13 different provinces, and some missionaries in other places helped us. But 1,200 people made progress in the memory course and memory system and also in Bible study before we left. I couldn't leave Shanghai, had to be back in my home on every evening because no telling when there would be a police check. You were allowed comparatively freedom during the day, but you had to be back at home in your place in the evening. And under those conditions, the Word of God is not bound. We had 1,200 people memorizing Scripture and seven men that we thought were our Timothys. And God gave us some wonderful experience. Then for about 43 to 56, 13 years, I guess, or something like that, I served Mr. Trotman, Dawson Trotman. Tremendous privilege. And then the day came when I got a telegram. I was in Tokyo working among the Japanese. I got a telegram that the Lord had taken our beloved leader, Dawson Trotman, home to be with the Lord. And we had a new leader, Lauren Sani, of course. Our staff was small, and we all knew one another very much. And I rushed back to the States, and the Lord, through the work of Sani, not only kept the work, but expanded it. And the goal was laborers for the harvest. And the emphasis was on discipleship. The word discipleship, a rather new word. In fact, one time on furlough, I searched the theological books in Dallas Seminary, and I couldn't find the word discipleship in any theological book out of 60 volumes. It's a new word for some reason. It's popular now, but the word discipleship is our generation type of terminology and our generation type of an emphasis. Follow-up was more the emphasis in Dawson's time. Reproduction, yes. But from follow-up, the word discipleship or training disciples. And when we say disciples and the navigators, we don't mean just an ordinary Christian. Too many ordinary Christians aren't living according to this book. But we mean a true follower of Jesus Christ. In the Asian pattern, they have the word guru. Guru in Sanskrit, the Indian language, and the Malay language means teacher. Murid means follower or disciple. And that's what we are. We are followers of Jesus Christ. It's like the word navigator. Navigator originated, you know, when we were still servicemen on ships, and the Lord Jesus Christ was our captain of our ship, and the Word of God was a compass, and we're sailing the seas of life. And they called it navigators. The same idea. Later, I think we changed the word mainly to disciples, being true disciples for Jesus Christ, with also the emphasis on reproduction. I had the privilege of living at Glen Eyrie for 3 years and being overseas coordinator for Mr. Sani and, sort of strategizing a worldwide program as it was expanded in missions, but my heart was not in it. That is, my heart was not here. My heart was overseas. So I begged Mr. Sani, and he gladly gave me permission. Maybe I wasn't doing a very good job of handling all the paper. He gave permission to go back to Asia, and I went to Singapore, 1962. Had the privilege of opening up the Navigator's work in Singapore for about 8 years, until it was taken over by Dave Dawson, the missionary who came to take my place. During these years, we had the privilege of the first Asian to become a Navigator full-time representative. And we saw the beginning and transition of the work from missionaries to Asians. My first Timothy, our first one that we brought along, Jim Chu, is now a regional leader, head of Singapore and Malaysia, and the leader of the work there. Most of the countries in Asia today are led by national leaders who were trained, and we poured our heart and soul and life into these men, and for the most part, they are the ones today who are developing the work. God used this period and on in today to provide laborers for the harvest. In my own life, about 70, I went through a crisis, this 40, 45-year-old crisis. I'd been a missionary. I'd served the Lord. And I don't know all of the things involved in it, but God burdened me in a new direction. Basically, I saw that the American missionary, men like David Morkin and Bob Pierce and Dick Hillis, these men that I served under in follow-up in the first years, the leaders of Youth for Christ, the foreign evangelist, that their day, to a degree, was past. You had to look upon things very, very realistically. But there was a vacuum. They had not been taken up, the torch had not been taken up by nationals who were doing what these great missionary leaders did in the 40s and in the 50s. And on into the 60s, that the pages of time was rolling on and a new era was approaching. And I wanted to be on this new era. I wanted to be where I thought God was moving and going to move in a very strategic place. So I went to the leadership of the Navigators and I asked permission to specialize in a project of training nationals to become evangelists. And trying to train the Billy Grahams of Indonesia or Japan or whatever country it was, training those men who would give their lives full-time to evangelism. This is a little bit different emphasis from the discipleship emphasis in what I'd been doing before. Enough so that I did not know whether I would be asked to leave the Navigators or to continue to serve under the Navigators. So we talked and we counseled, and God burdened my heart. I couldn't escape from this. I was involved in a big evangelistic crusade in Kuala Lumpur. Kuala Lumpur is the capital of Malaysia. There were 8 national evangelists who were preaching in this crusade. Men like Gregorio Tingzen from the Philippines and Timothy Zhao from Hong Kong. And Honda from Japan and other evangelists came together and were preaching. It was the first time in history the gospel had ever been preached in a large public meeting in Kuala Lumpur and using the national language, Malay, because some of them were from Indonesia, to preach the gospel. A great meeting, a crisis. And God was burdening my heart. They thought, these evangelists, that I should give my life to training young men who in turn would become evangelists like them. I spent almost all night in prayer and wrestled and struggled and waited on the Lord and just walked to and fro outside into the wee hours of the morning. And then I felt God had called me to do this particular thing. As I say, I negotiated with the Navigators and they were very accommodating and nice. Waldron Scott, who was then the Asia director for Asia, negotiated with him, and we set up a program. First of all, channeled by the Navigators, the funds and the money and the leadership and the guidance and the personnel being trained, being sent through the navigators to provide these programs. Our first program was in Singapore. We had 7 young men from 6 different countries to come and live in my home. Phyllis, my wife, who spoke, some of you heard her speak on Monday, she's a very godly and gifted and dedicated person. You have to be my husband, and also to shepherd 7 Asians in your home for 1 year. We had a large house, so we had 7 Asians, one of whom was married, so we had 8. The Korean guy was married. They were from 6 different nationalities, Korea, Japan, Philippines, India, Singapore, where else? Indonesia, 6 different nationalities. And we lived together for 1 year, 24 hours a day in the house. We had our Bible studies in the house all morning in Bible. And my wife supervised breakfast for 16 people. There were 8 Robertsons. We had 6 kids. And 8 Asians all meeting together. Breakfast, lunch, supper. Next day, breakfast, lunch, supper. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Day after day. I didn't realize at that time the stress that I was probably putting on my wife. We talk about mission stress, and we have all these manuals of what you're not supposed to do and all like that today, but they hadn't been published then. So, but it was a wonderful experience. And what about our kids? You know, living among all these Asians day and night, what about the stress factors, the time and the family together? You know, after 3 months, we decided to have a vacation. And the guys got together, that is the Asian guys. And so we planned a vacation in which I was included. Vacation, we were still with the men because that's what they wanted. 1 year, day and night in our family. But through the time, we became very, very close to the men. Very, very close. Not only teaching the Bible, we did that. The book of Romans that I specialize in. And the wheel and the bridge and the hand and the foot and all those other things that we give to people. All of these things, all of these classes and practical experience as we travel as a team. I love to sing, and we gather together and we sang together as a gospel team. We preached. We had meetings. We had counseling. We had follow-up. We taught the church. Wonderful experiences. At the end of the year, we would ask the men, now, what was a high point in this experience, in this training? And many times, the guys would say, the high point in the whole training. Oh, you know, we learned something. I wondered whether they liked my analysis of Romans or my analysis of 1 Corinthians. They'd almost always say, was living in your home. And the greatest impact was the impact of your family, your wife, the Christian culture upon us. It made a profound difference in our lives. This was a testimony. Oh, we did train in Bible, but it was costly in one sense, costly in time, costly in heart, costly in energy, costly in emotion. But I don't know any other way to train men deeply unless you train them as your sons. And they became our sons in the Lord. They'd say, well, yes. One of those men was Paul Yu and his wife. That was a Korean. We had a Korean baby born in our home, of all things. The middle of the night, inconvenient time, rushed to the hospital and all that. Paul Yu later became the founder of the Navigator's work in Korea, which is still going on very well today with the successors that carried it on. But I don't know of any other way to raise spiritual sons than to bring them into your life. The more you bring them into your life, once a week doesn't quite do it. Even lecture, you walk to your lecture and lecture and you go home to your home. But the way that we have found is to bring them into our home. And that's the way that we trained these national evangelists. In something like 12, 15 years, we have trained 39 people in this way, live intensive training, our spiritual sons. They have gone out, 38 are in full-time ministry today out of 39. When your training is that intense and that much involved, I think you have a very high percentage of follow-through. I was invited this summer to the ICIE. I meant to bring an object lesson and a banner, but I didn't do it. We don't need this for the moment. The ICIE, International Conference for Itinerant Evangelists, which was led by Billy Graham, sponsored by Billy Graham. He invited national evangelists, the top national evangelists from all over the world, particularly the third world countries. And when I got to this big conference in Amsterdam, both my wife and I came as official delegates, she for her writing on evangelism and publications and all like that, and I as a trainer of evangelist. When I got there, I looked around, and I saw there were 12 men that had lived in my home. 12 men out of 39 who now had attained the status of being recognized as one of the leading evangelists in their nation and being selected by national committees that Billy Graham set up to come to this international conference for itinerant evangelism. The idea of reproduction. We've done these various things as we've gone through the eras. 43 to 56, Trotman. And in those days, we were serving evangelists. We were really not trying to set up the navigators as such, although I was a navigator and financed by navigators, responsible to Trotman. Yes, we were an organization. But basically, we were serving other people, and particularly serving evangelists. And our main emphasis was reproduction. God said, get your man, pour your life into your man, raise up spiritual sons, and do follow-up. The period, the next period in which I was actively involved in the work under Sani and on continuing today, laborers for the harvest, with the emphasis on discipleship, but also reproduction. Also reproduction. The heart of the navigators in every era is reproduction. And the last 13, 14 years of my life, I've given myself to a special project co-sponsored by both the navigators and TEL, which means Training Evangelistic Leadership. We had to set up some vehicle for the ongoing of the nationals and supervising them. Training national evangelists with an emphasis on evangelism, but also on reproduction. And it appeared to me as I tried to analyze this talk and sharing with you that these are three important phases of Christian work today. And that you represent a wider scope of things, not only within the organization as such, but you're going from here and you have your lives and will be doing God's work the rest of your lives. And there are three kinds of things you can do. One is follow-up, which is merely the process of finding babes in Christ and give them a little bit of food, a little bit of help, until they get on their feet. It's a relatively short term, maybe for a few months, 6 months or so, that you'll help a person, help him get on the feet, follow up, find people that desperately need this help. That's a type of ministry that is very important. Another type is discipleship, and discipleship needs to be distinguished from follow-up. Discipleship is the developing of another Christian and teaching him to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. And all of us can and should be engaged in one form or another in this kind of work. And then evangelism, the work of evangelism, but all reproduction and taking your people. There are several verses that God has given me to serve the Lord. I think I mentioned when I went to China, Hebrews 11:6. When I was serving under Mr. Sani and went to Singapore, God gave me Isaiah 43:4. Because thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I've loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. And I thought of it as I would exchange my life in exchange for people. It became different kinds of people, and one time navigators or discipleship makers or whatever it be, different kinds of people, the different kinds of labors in the Lord's harvest. But the Lord said, give your life for people. Everybody gives your life for something. And what's going to remain? Committee notes won't remain. Schedules and programs are temporary. But people, people remain for heaven, up in heaven. And I want to give my life for people. One sort of a goal is a man a year. Some one person a year at least that I will touch in a very, very significant way and give my life for people. I've just returned back to the States with my wife and three kids. Three of them are up there. And incidentally, two of my daughters are full-time navigator staff. My oldest daughter, Janet, and her husband, Mark, are slated this summer for Zimbabwe. They're going to Africa. My second daughter, Susan, and her husband, Dave Rice, have taken over the ministry in Lubbock, Texas, Texas Tech, where my other son also is continuing going to school. The point I'm making is that all of this stress and these kids grew up in these training programs, surrounded by Asians. My kids went to local school in Singapore rather than the missionary school. All of this stress, all of this exposure that you think would probably turn the kids, the last thing they would want to do would be to go back to the mission field, especially with the navigators, and their father's occupation. The last thing you think they would want to do, but nearly everyone seems to be seeking this out with a real heart and desire, because somehow that exposure, that overexposure, 12 hours a day and mom and daddy surrounded by these Asians all the time, instead of turning them against it, it seems that it really prepared them to serve the Lord. And I've taken a verse in relation to my children. It's Isaiah 44:3. I will pour water upon dry ground and streams in the desert. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thy offspring. And as I've analyzed things, and I said, well, look, all of this time I've been raising up Asian sons and daughters, and here my own sons and daughters, they're there too, and I've woken up to the fact, God, my seed in Scripture is usually not just your spiritual seed, but your own seed, your own sons and daughters. And I think God and His blessing will do both. Your seed has to be from your own loins, that verse. Your offspring might be your spiritual sons and daughters. And I've asked God for both. From my own flesh and blood to raise up spiritual sons. And of course I was delighted when my youngest son, who's a twin, 19 years old, came and says, I want to be an evangelist. I want to go and evangelize. This is my lifetime calling. I'm persuaded. I'm sure of it. We've gone to Denton, Texas, North Texas State, and he's taking public speaking and communications and all the courses that will enable him to get up before people and lead people to Christ, to be an evangelist for the Lord, which delights my heart. It seems I've almost made a full swing. Coming back to Texas, 1983, Mr. John Crawford, who's a state director of our area and works out of Oklahoma City, came and said, Roy, why don't you take, while you're home on furlough, not doing anything anyway, why don't you take an assignment to run the Navigators University work in Denton, Texas? And so, well, before you change your mind, I accept. So I instantly accepted this assignment to run the Navigators work in Denton, Texas. Well, in 1947, I was running the Navigator work in Denton, Texas. North Texas State was one of the works that we originally, way, way back there, before I went to China, was influenced. Now, a generation later, Lee, Len, and Lila, my three kids, are all enrolled at North Texas State University, and they are my contact staff, or my official staff that we get together. Lee, Len, and Lila, plus Phyllis, my wife, are my staff. We have five staff workers, all member of the Robertson family, and we're hitting the campus of North Texas State. There are 2,000 foreign students, most of them Asians, nearly 2,000 Asian students on this campus, and we identify with them very, very easily, especially my kids. We've already had evangelistic parties. My wife had four ladies come to Christ in a little coffee. She preached the gospel to these Texas ladies and had them bow their heads and raise their hands and gave an invitation. And the Dallas Cowboy cheerleader gave her heart to Christ, one of those ladies. The sister of the Dallas Cowboy cheerleader gave her heart to Christ, and two other ladies. Not easy. How did they get there? Going door to door, knocking on doors and asking to come to a neighborhood meeting. My son has brought Asians in, and one of them, maybe two, one and a half, one assurance of salvation, one have come to Christ. And what an exciting time. Wherever you are, Asia, Denton, Texas, Japan, China, the mission field is a world, and people are hungry and waiting and longing for someone to help them come to Christ. Here's my last point. The challenge today is greater than any time in history. Never have there been as many missionaries today. I mean, many missionaries in all of history as there are today. Never has there been as many American missionaries in all the world as there is today. And I get upset when I hear some people talk about the day of missionaries is over, the day of missions is over. That is no means the case. The doors are wide, wide open. And we need laborers of every kind and description and categories to go forth in streams from this country. And if you can't go overseas, we'll go next door. Go to Denton, or go to the campus, or start like my wife did, into your neighborhood. Just knock on doors and invite ladies or men or people or children to Christ. My son gets a little puppet, and he went through the streets in Denton, not through the streets, but on the school campus in Denton, showed his puppet, and say, now you come to Sunday school on Sunday, and advertised right on the campus his meeting, and then they had a little gospel service, Sunday school service for young boys and girls recruiting for Christ. My friends, there's such tremendous opportunity in every way today that has never existed before. Go and tell. Tell is a play on the words that I represent. Training evangelistic leadership. So name my project Tell. Go tell. And teach. And share the gospel. And reproduce your life. And be involved in this wonderful program. What we call the Great Commission. Both here and there. In every place. People are waiting. People wanting to hear. What a wide open door for the gospel. Never before have so many people are hearing the gospel as today. And you and I have this great opportunity. So these are the things that I share with you. This 50th anniversary of the founding of the Navigators. I cannot be here as Dawson Trotman. Perhaps if I could have the spirit of Dawson Trotman and stand before you, I would covet that. Something of the spirit of Dawson Trotman. I know I'd say several things that I've heard Dawson say again and again. One thing he said, if you know enough to know Christ, if you know enough to know you're saved, you know enough to tell someone else how to be saved. You don't need a program. You don't need anything. Just share what you already know. And you'll reproduce. And you'll have fruit. And if I had the spirit of Dawson Trotman and could stand here before you, I would also say, whatever else you're doing, working for the NAS in any kind of Glen Area, in any kind of capacity, okay, fine, you're experts in all kinds of fields. Whatever else you're doing, do one other thing. Find at least one person who will respond to your life and be giving something of your life to one other person. Whatever else you're doing, at least do that. Share Christ. And give your life to one person. You're born to reproduce. This is the spirit of the Navigator organization from 50 years until now. And I trust for the next 50 years, whatever changes are made, it will not be made in this fundamental thing. Share Christ and give your life to another person. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we pray to Thee, I pray there'll be a response in hearts that are here. These are the groups that co-labor in this work in different capacities and have various functions to run the headquarters of the Navigators. And Lord, we're thankful and grateful for everyone and for all the help and service that's done. But Lord, let them not serve here and miss the spirit of Dawson Trotman or the spirit of Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, do give this desire and commitment to share Christ and at least give ourselves in some time that we have, in helping to bring another person further along in the Christian life to be a disciple of Jesus. O God, thank Thee for Your mercy. Thank Thee for Your grace. Thank Thee for Your blessing upon this property and for the names and the missionaries and the people and all the people that are blessed with the activities. Oh God, we're grateful. Lord, in the next 50 years, if it please Thee, may the multiplication process continue to reach through us and others to the whole world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.